mother, my maternal grandmother, came over with her daughter. None of my father's parents, neither of my father's parents, came to this country. And I believe they came after the 1905 revolution. There were a lot of pogroms and so on, so they probably came before World War II. My sister is born in 1912, so they came before World War II, I would say.
Sounds to me like they came before World War
I. World War I, yeah. All right, so they came as a result of the pogroms that followed the 1905 uprising in Russia. So they came in those years following that. I don't know the exact year. We have a great deal of problems with our parents about dates and ages and so on, because they had no papers, they had no records of anything, and eventually we just had to establish approximate birth dates and approximate, dates of various kinds.
Do you know how your mother met your father?
Yes, they met in the old country, and they were both members of the Bund, the UND, which was a socialist organization of Jewish people. So they were active in struggle against the impact of Tsarist Russia, and also against the problems, around some of the problems in their own little village and little cities.
When your mother came to America, where did she come to?
They both came to New York, not together, but they both arrived in New York City.
And they lived in New York?
For many years.
What circuit?
I guess they started in Upper Harlem, and by the time I was born, they were living in Lower Bronx, and progressed basically in the Bronx.
What was your childhood like growing up in New York City in the Lower Bronx?
Well, I grew up in New York's tenements. Part of that background, very poor, with all the other immigrant families around, Irish, Italian. I grew up in years of great turmoil and hassle, and so on. I don't know if you know the New York tenements, but coal heated, three flights up, dumbwaiter style, ice boxes, whatever, the whole combination. Roaches, rats, mice, whatever you wanted. And so that was the early part of my life till about, till about 11 or 12, we moved into Middle Bronx, and then things got a little better as the years went by. But we went through the Depression in the Lower Bronx.
When in the area in the Bronx, can you pinpoint it? Can you be more specific?
We lived for many years on 139th Street near Brook Avenue.
What kind of things did you do? I mean, that's a very rough area, and it's a struggle. What did you do to help your mother, to help the family?
Well, I don't know how to answer that question exactly. I don't know if you know the Jewish mothers in particular had a strong, very strong feeling about their children getting educated. That was a key. So everything they could do, they would struggle and work and everything else, but the push was for the children to go to school and to become educated. So as very young, we basically kept them in school, but both parents worked. My mother was in the sweatshops in the needle trades, sewing, and my father had various jobs at various times, depending on what he could find. At one time, he owned a small laundry, But at other times he worked basically for other people, you know, and so on. And our grandma lived at home with us, and she took care of us and so on, because my mother still had to come home and do all of the work. But as small children, we didn't work. Later on, we tried to find all kinds of little odd jobs that we could do, you know, and so on. But the pressure was for us to study and to go into school, you know, and so on. So I would say that at the beginning, we did not contribute in that large fashion, except with the work around the house.
How many were there in your family?
I'm the youngest of three.
You had?
I have an older sister and an older brother.
And your grandmother was living there with you?
She was living with us. And then my mother's sister was living with us, and my mother's brother was living with us, that I remember at that time. Eventually they got married and left the house.
How many rooms were there in the house?
Well, the main house that I remember, the main tenement that we lived in a long time, was six rooms, three bedrooms, one of what we called a railroad flat. You came into the kitchen and you walked through long halls, and the rooms, you know, came off on the side, the bedroom and so on. Then you walked into a huge bedroom at the end. And so there were three bedrooms, basically. And for as long as I can remember in my years living in New York, there were beds in every room, many times in the kitchen.
Did you and your sister share a room?
No. Well, different in different places and at different times, depending on our size and age. The three of us, for a while, were in, you know, in a room. And then, as I say, when my aunt, uncle moved out, when my aunt moved out, there was more room, so we were able to spread out a little bit. But I don't remember, mostly I shared with my grandma. I was the youngest and shared with my grandma more than I remember sharing with my sister.
Bathroom facilities?
Yes, we had a bathroom. No hot water, but there was a toilet and there was a bathtub.
When you took baths, did you bathe by yourself or did you have to bathe with your brother and sister?
As far as I can remember, she took us one at a time as much as possible. My mother would come home from work, you know, and say, I really don't remember too much about that, but I don't remember all in one bathtub in that kind of sense, you know, that sense.
Your mother would have to heat the water to put in the bathtub. What kind of stove?
We had a coal and wood burning stove, and my grandma cooked with that. It heated the kitchen and the other house, and then the bedroom had a little kerosene stove in there, which was turned on only when needed for people to be able to get in there and get into bed. So that's what heated the water to.
What age did you start going to school?
About five.
And what was it like? What's kindergarten like?
Well, I was one of these kids who liked school and who raced through it, actually. I graduated high school before I was 15. Classes were so crowded in those years that anybody who came along who was interested or could pick up what they were doing, you know, they would just skip you over. They were glad to move you on. So I would say that my school was, to me, was very good, and I liked it, and I, you know, picked up whatever I could, and was a good student all the time, you know, so on. So, I mean, you know, my brother had a different kind of experience, but I liked school, and it was a whole new world for me.
Did you ever think that while you were in school, did you ever think about going to college? Was that ever a possibility in your mind at all?
Well, if you think back to what I said about the Jewish mothers, then it was talked about all the time. I mean, that was the outlook.
I was also thinking in terms of finances, too.
Well, that was part of an argument that we had in later years. Her aim was to sacrifice everything. They would work and sacrifice so that we could become professionals. That was always their outlook, of becoming professionals. Now, as the years went by, things happened that were different, but that was their direction. So it was always a part of the... Education was a big part of the direction that was drummed in. You have to remember, this is within the framework of... we had parents who were both in the radical movement and were we were involved in various demonstrations and various activities, especially in the unemployed days and so on. But that had nothing to do with the aim that she had set for us. The aim was to become professionals.
What kind of political involvement do you remember your parents being in when you were a child?
Well, my mother was a an early member of the International Ladies Garment Workers Union, and was very much involved in strikes and struggles. They used to come home and talk about it all the time. My father was also a union man. So, I mean, unions were very important, and as well as the political life, because they came here as socialists, socialist-minded, I should say. They're not socialists as belonging to the Socialist Party, but socialist-minded. And they were leaders in the community in their own way, and grievances around the community. They knew how to gather the people together and sit in the schools sit on the doorsteps for rents and for welfare and so on. So they were part of that old struggle. Maybe I can pinpoint one thing that will. I remember very clearly the night that Sacco and Vanzetti were executed, because that was a big event. It was built up. There were community torchlight parades, which were led by Norman Thomas and other, you know, important people down the streets. There were, you know, was constant talk about it, constant worry about it, all kinds of meetings and so on. And I remember going to bed that night and then waking up in the morning, all of us wanting to know what happened, and there they had the newspaper with the death masks on the front page. So that kind of pinpoints a little, you know, some of the things that they were interested in, involved in.
Was your mother at all involved in the struggle for women's votes?
I don't think so. After all, she was not a citizen herself, you know, and the struggle to exist, to just plain exist and so on, and not knowing the language, not being a part of. They were more related to the Jewish movements, which existed at that time, were developed at that time. In order to survive, they had to build their own movements to learn how to do things. So to my knowledge, she was not involved in the, I would say she would agree with it, but I don't think she was involved in the movement for the women's right to vote.
What did your grandmother think of your parents' activity? Did she have an opinion or express one?
Oh, she was very sympathetic, and she went along to much of the activities. They were early readers and supporters of such things as the Morning Freiheit, which was the left-wing paper, as opposed to the Jewish Daily Forward, which was the right-wing paper. And my mother and grandmother, unusual for the times, were both able to read and write Yiddish, because women were not taught in Russia. But my grandfather evidently was a teacher, and he believed in women's rights, and he taught the women in the house to read and write. So they could read the newspapers, and they could follow things and so on. And she was very much, and my grandmother was very much in sympathy, and went along on many of the events that took place, you know, and so on. The only thing she couldn't entirely relinquish was her the hold of the religion, which my folks gave up a long time ago. Basically, they were, you know, they were atheists. But we respected that, and we liked the customs, and we liked the music and the foods and the, you know, and the celebrations and so on. And we respected her clinging to whatever she did, the very little that she did. And the household, you know, went along with whatever needs she had for that.
Do you remember any harassment as a child because you were Jewish or your parents were Jewish?
No, I don't remember too much of that. I would imagine that my older brother and sister probably didn't more. We grew up sort of in a Jewish community. You sort of stay within your own, and I'm sure there was more. Later on, I would get to feel it more. But I don't remember feeling it too much, except, of course, we had the problems of, we were called names, and so on. We had problems of living, you know, and so on. But I don't remember in the sense, I think, of what you're asking of being ousted from places, you know, and so on. Not much of that.
What were the classrooms like?
Well, the classrooms were very overcrowded, and the teachers really had, a tremendous job to do just to maintain. For one thing, they had a lot of children of immigrant background, couldn't understand what they were saying, and were not, of course, nobody was well fed, nobody was properly fed or clothed, and all kinds of problems in the house. So it really was a big policeman's job, and probably worse than some of the schools now. And there's still, you know, plenty of that. And basically, they were trying to just get kids started on their way, you know, into education, because you had to teach the language, you had to teach many times the hygiene, you had to teach the basic three R's, really, in those days.
We went to the same school at different periods of time. Was there a cafeteria when you were there? Did they serve lunch or something?
No, there was never such a thing. Eventually, there was a fight for hot lunches in the schools. By that time, we moved from that area. But when I was at, there was no cafeteria, there was no hot lunch. There was a milk program. That was the farthest we got.
How did they heat the school?
I don't even recall that.
I was wondering if it was cold.
Well, it was not comfortable and very crowded. Going out for recess meant just standing on top of each other. But as I said before, I to me it was another world, and I really liked school. I was an A student, you know, and so on, and the world of books and reading and so on, and arithmetic, and was very welcome.
At what age were you when your parents moved from 139th Street?
Oh, I'm trying to think now. I was in high school, junior high at that time. I probably was about 12, 11 or 12.
And where did you move?
What was called Middle Bronx.
Concourse.
Well, no, that's the west side. We did not move up to the west side. We moved down to, what was the name of the street? Near Lincoln Hospital. We did not move, we never moved to the west side. So just Middle Bronx. I can't recall at this point.
Were the schools as crowded in junior high as they were in grade school?
Well, by that time, I was in junior high, and I stayed with the same school, Walton Junior and Senior High. It was a junior and senior high, so I just stayed there till I graduated. And it wasn't that far away, so that I could go back there. So I finished school in the other school. And they were always crowded. I mean, there was no question about that.
What was the curriculum like then? What were you studying?
Well, I just took what was called a general course. It wasn't that divided out, especially in high school. But basically, it was to prepare you for college. I mean, there was no question about it, as opposed to a commercial course, which was typing and steno and business training, you know, and things like that. So I went through a general course, which was a little bit of science, a little bit of languages. A little bit of geography and history and math and, that kind of thing.
What were your friends like?
Well, they were part of the same idea that we had, you know, we all lived together.
But what did you do? I mean, like after school, would you get together with your friends? What kind of social life did you have?
Yeah, well, the social life was what you made it, of course. Now, once you got into junior high, there were extra activities, and some of us stayed for them, you know, the various clubs, as they call them, and math clubs and, you know, science clubs and so on. And we did some things there in school, but once we got out, we had chores to do at home, but we had homework to do in those years, you know, and so on. And then we played on the streets, such things as stickball, such things as, you take an old pair of skates and you'd make the old skateboard and you'd go down the hills. And you had touch tackle in those days, a little bit of that, jump rope, jacks, marbles. What else can I tell you? You know, the street games you played on the streets. There was no place to go. There was some parks there, but they were not right close. And mostly the parks, when we went to the parks, was usually on the weekends. My father would go with us. We'd go to watch a baseball game or something there. But mostly we just played on the streets.
I remember that hill on 138th Street. I used to love to go down that hill.
But our folks used to go wild.
Yes.
Because right into the traffic.
Yes. You said you graduated from high school when you were about 15.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do after you graduated?
I went on to Hunter College for a couple of years. And by that time we had a student movement and so on. I was involved in the student movement. And by that time I was a member of the Young Pioneers. I had joined that when I was still in high school. Do you know what the Young Pioneers are?
I have heard of the Young Pioneers.
Well, the Young Pioneers were the section of the communist movement. And so I had joined that, and that was a lot of, when I got into those years, that was a lot of my activity. We carried on propaganda in the schools. We took off on May Day, and on, we went to the March 6th demonstration against for work or wages, for unemployment insurance. Our parents sent notes to the principals, very principal thing, saying that we were not sick. We were at the demonstrations. And we had whole hassles with the school, both the parents and the kids, about being out. But we were participating in the unemployment struggle of those years. The Young Pioneers did all kinds of other things too, a great deal of cultural activities, of singing and portraying the life of the working class to the children and the answers that needed to be found in a cultural way. But we participated and helped to organize kids to fight for hot lunches in the schools, against the overcrowding, worked with the teachers on things of that kind, for various things that we needed in the schools. At one point, they were giving us pencils and books and materials to work with, and then they took everything away, and we had no money. So we had some little arguments about that. You know, various things, but we have to remember that those were the years of the unemployment days. And so we basically were trying to involve the kids in their own way in fighting for the needs of the workers.
Do you remember the year that you graduated from high school and went to college?
Well, if I was about 15, I think it was in June of the year. That would be
32. You were already poor, okay? When the Depression came along, did it change your life even more? Did it make the struggle to survive even harder?
Well, I don't know that I noticed a change because we were just plain struggling all the time. Now, my father was in and out of jobs depending on what he could find. And my mother worked pretty steadily because she actually had the more work. She was a very fine seamstress, and therefore she really could hold the jobs down. Now, of course, that means that now a little bit later on, as we got a little older, he did get more steady work, so that he was working during the Depression years. He was working in what they call the steam laundry, which is a larger type laundry, and did the kind of things like for the linens and towels and big things for the hotels and restaurants and that kind of thing, rather than the everyday laundry of people. And he worked very long hours and for very little pay, but he did work through a large part of the Depression. So we had food. You know, we were not starving in that sense. But but we weren't, you know, it still was a question of existence. My father would leave the house on Monday, start on Monday. We didn't see him. He'd leave early in the morning, come home late at night. Those were the hours. So sometimes we wouldn't see him actually for supper until Friday, you know, so.
were your parents, did they show a lot of love? Did they touch? And they touch you as children and kiss you? Was there a strong family tie? Demonstrated love?
There was very strong family bonds and family ties, both in our family and our uncles and, you know, our other relatives. A great deal of bond, constant visiting and celebration together, and a great deal of care, you know, and interest in each other and so on. I think it was a happy household in that sense. There were problems, but I think my sister would say that I didn't know the problems that were between my mother and father, which is probably true. But they had their problems, I'm sure. But I think that came a little bit later. But as far as I remember, the house was full of music. They got a piano at the earliest possible time and tried to get us to learn to play the piano and anything they could. And a great deal of singing. They brought all the old songs with them and knew. They both belonged to the Jewish Gesangsverein, the choruses, the Jewish chorus. And a great deal of music in the house and a great deal of fun, you know, and in spite of all the tiredness and so on. So our house was a grand central station. Friday night they would line up. My grandma would bake all day long. The house would be full of cake and bread and stuff. And people would line up, our friends and their friends, and they would come through, you know, and so on. We had a great amount of activity in the house.
Did your father ever do any work around the house? Did you ever see him helping mother or your grandmother?
No. Very well, not in the sense you're asking. He took care of the kids. He would take us out. He would do things with us when he was there. But I just told you he wasn't there. In those years he worked such hours that there were many times. There's a Jewish folk song that is written by a furrier who says, "My loving son, I don't see you. From I come home and you're already asleep. I leave and you're still sleeping. I come home and you're already asleep." And that was pretty much the life, so we didn't see him that much. So he did not do any of the housework. My grandma and my mother did the majority of it. You'd have to say that they encouraged it in the sense of the way they organized the house. Somebody had to be home to feed him no matter what time he came home. Now, whether that would not be considered right today, but in those years, you know, if he was working 10 and 12 and 14 hours a day, we didn't consider that bad. In later years, we had, at least I did, I know, had good arguments with my mother on this business of